I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into The Memo for this Wednesday, October 26th. I'm Brad Locke, joined by W. Derek Russell, of course, and Chris Kiefer on the board for now.
Didn't know my last name was of course now.
Chris is going to leave us here in a minute.
He's Where's he going?
Do actual work.
Well, I don't like it when Daddy leaves now.
Leave it to us. He's going to leave the podcast to us. I'm not sure if this is the best decision. I apologize in advance. When he comes back to edit this thing, he's probably just going to go walk out into the middle of the street.
I guarantee you we're done in 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
I'm the slow link.
Yeah, yeah. Chris is the one that slows us down, Derek, not you.
What? I never thought it was me. I thought it was you.
And it's probably both of us, let's be honest.
It's a combination of, when you get the three of us in a room together, it just...
Yeah.
I was also proud of that tweet from Monday, too, that I tweeted your general direction.
Which tweet was that?
His face when he was...
Oh, yeah, Monday's episode. Yeah, it was good.
That was a doozy.
I had to dig deep for that photo.
You did. I was impressed. We took those photos like two or three years ago.
It was in the recesses. It was like a Mr. Robot episode. I was hacking.
I was wondering how you found that.
That's a show I need to check out, Mr. Robot.
A hacker never reveals.
It's a good show, isn't it? Mr. Robot?
It's a good show.
Okay.
It's a good show.
Unlike The Walking Dead, as you would say.
AV Club didn't like it either, so you're obviously in good company. I appreciate some. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I don't like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I understand. I get it.
It's fine. Did you see the deleted, the alternate scene that got put out yesterday where somebody else died?
No.
Yeah, apparently they filmed all of them. And then
Well, there was some fantasy sequence where everybody got whacked in the head. You know, in a trailer. Rick was thinking about what could have happened.
Yeah, well, apparently there's one played out where...
Well, if it didn't make it in the show, you can tell me who it was.
It was Maggie.
Maggie. Okay.
And she's pregnant now, right?
Yes, she is.
That's a double whammy.
It is. Say what you will, though. The Negan guy.
This is such a happy show today.
Really good. Well, let's talk about happy things then.
Okay, Chris is leaving.
Oh, okay. It's going to be our best show ever.
No.
Forget the guests. We're just going to talk.
This is 30 minutes of us today.
Yes.
That's what you get. But Monday.
Monday. It is going to be a fun show.
Speaking of which, we're going to have a Halloween episode.
We're going to tell spooky stories.
We're going to drink cider and light a little fire in here on the desk. And
burn ban.
Don't do that.
You can't do that.
How many calls for fires did we hear on the scanner yesterday?
There were so many. Like every 30? 5 minutes. It was a bunch.
To the point I lost track, and I was like, are they referring to the one from 5 minutes ago, or is this a new one? And then I heard the address. I was like, this is a new one.
Yeah. Burn ban. I mean, it's a burn ban for obvious reasons. It's dry. We've gotten, like, one day of rain in the past 2.5 months. And, you know, I don't know if people are actually going out and burning stuff or just everything's so dry it didn't take much. You know, you go put out a cigarette on the side of the road, boom, fire.
And the funniest, and I guess it wasn't related to the burn ban at all, but it was on Monday evening we got a call, and lady called and said her husband was welding the house and set the side of the house on fire.
Welding the house inside the house.
Why do you weld inside the house? I topped that story.
I don't know, but I just could see that conversation. Yeah. I told you not to do it.
Marvin. Poor guy. I say Marvin because that's my grandfather's name. One year, the pipes froze at my house.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was bad, and they burst, and the whole backyard was ice skating. The dogs were just all the way across. So at the end of the summer, it was right around, actually it was November 4th, so it's almost been 6 years ago when this happened.
Oh, okay,
he died in 2012, so yeah, this was 2010, and he decided he was going to install a shutoff valve under the kitchen sink to where that pipe water wouldn't go to the pipe below if I cut it off.
Right.
And he was trying to sweat the coupling with a blowtorch, and the whole kitchen wall just shot up in flames.
Wow. This is the time Thomas Wells tried to burn down Rod Rojardo's house.
Well, I don't know that story.
Yeah, Thomas was trying to help Rod with something. Oh, Chris is leaving us.
Oh, what is that?
Bye, Chris.
He just...
That's going to be an extra special show for you to edit.
Have fun today. Have fun at camp, Chris. Be sure and make us something out of macaroni while you're there.
Don't forget to write.
Yeah.
Uh, I can't even remember what Thomas was doing, but he was helping Rod with something at his new house a few months ago. And after he left, something didn't get put back right. And Rod looks up and, like, there was, like, his ceiling in the kitchen is, like, on fire. He got it put out pretty quick.
What?
You have to bring Rod in here to talk about that.
I don't know this story.
Yeah, ask Thomas or Rod about it.
That's fantastic. I was not aware of that. I mean, it's not fantastic, but...
Nobody was hurt. No real damage.
Come on, Thomas.
Yeah.
Come on, Thomas.
Come on, Thomas. Jeez.
Put some thought into it. Hey, we got a full show today. William Moore is going to be joining us, as well as Bobby Harrison down in Jackson. And, of course, it's Wednesday, so Jenna Parsons is going to be discussing food with us today and probably not bringing us any.
Nope. Discussing food that we can't have.
I'm going to go ahead and get started and remind you that today's episode is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. You can visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main.
Chris is gone.
What do we do now?
I don't know. What do we do?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
He's got his computer over there.
Oh, we push button?
But it's turned around.
You push button now.
Turn his... No.
I guess we could turn it around.
Yeah, turn it around. That would make more sense.
Oh, he's back. Okay.
Whoa. What happened? Nothing. We're not doing anything in here, Chris. We're fine. We're just talking.
Everything's fine, sir. How are you? We're all fine now.
Why is the board on fire?
Get the fire extinguisher, Derek. You broke the podcast. Okay.
William Moore joining us now. William, you had a story discussing the future direction of the Saltillo Main Street Association.
Correct.
What's happening there?
This is a standard procedure when towns join the Main Street Association. Mm-hmm. They'll bring in a group of experts and other people from other towns to help look at the city to see what they have, what's good, what's bad, what they need to promote, what they might not need to be promoting as much. It used to be called a charrette.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a fancy French term that nobody seemed to know about. So they sort of rebranding it, calling it a vision plan now. So starting,
I prefer charrette.
Well, it does sound a little more elegant.
Yes.
But still, I mean, they're going to bring in a group of experts from around the state. 1st of November, they'll have a public input where folks can come by and say, you know, this is what we'd like to see.
Is that a town hall, or is people just going to
Yeah, it'll be a town hall meeting that night at City Hall.
Cool.
And then the experts will be going around looking at what the town has. I mean, you know, because traditionally, Main Street, you know, they focus on the downtown area. You know, South Hill's got a nice established old downtown, mm-hmm. which is a retail commercial area, but they also have the newer commercial districts, you know, out on 145.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a additional one out on Highway 45. North of the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they'll be looking at all that. The city has, you know, three parks, that growing park and rec system. They'll be looking at the different festivals, the different community organizations. They'll just be taking a hard look at Saltillo and trying to figure out what direction, what they need to promote.
Does bringing in this group cost, or is that just incorporated in becoming a Main Street
association? It is part of the cost of joining the Main Street Association. I mean, they've already paid for all this. I mean, they were established as a main, you know, they officially joined back in March. And basically, they've been waiting for this ever since. So, you know, basically, you know, Saltillo officials are chomping at the bit, you know, and are really excited now, you know, that this, it's just right around the corner.
Yeah. What does it cost to join the Main Street?
I don't have that in front of me right now. I mean, it was over $10,000. But, you know,
they better come in for that.
That's one of the reasons why they've already paid their money and they're excited to have the experts coming in now.
What's the next step from there when the experts leave? Do they have to wait on results?
Well, no, because basically it's a 3-day thing. I mean, November 1st they'll have the public input meeting,
mm-hmm.
and then actually on November 3rd they'll release their findings and say, "Here's what we think you need to do." You know, and Saltillo can, you know, hit the ground running.
Wow. That's efficient.
Yeah, there's no sense in waiting around.
All right. Well, good for them. It's good to see what they come up with. So November 1st,
Town Hall. November 1st, that night, community room at the City Hall. Everybody's welcome.
6:30 p.m.
Correct.
Be sure, if you live in the area, to give your input on what you want to see downtown become in the coming years. And looks like they'll have a quick turnaround.
They will.
All right, William. Thanks for joining.
Hold on. Sorry. I have to ask William about something about this Tishomingo County shooting.
There was a Tishomingo County shooting?
Yeah, I just looked at it.
Breaking news.
And maybe by the time people listen to this, we'll have an update, but it just caught my attention that the guy who got, A, no one's been charged as of,
correct,
as of this conversation. B, the guy who got shot in the leg is like, I'm fine. I'll just drive myself to the hospital.
Correct.
After getting shot.
I would do that.
I wouldn't. I want an ambulance. I'm trying to drive.
How much an ambulance ride costs?
I don't care.
That's $3,000.
I'm driving around with a hole in my leg?
You just got shot in the leg.
Might just be a puncture, not an official hole.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it appears that there were three people at a house.
Yeah. And something went wrong.
They were all related, and a disturbance happened, and somebody got shot.
Yes.
And it didn't appear to be to the point where it was criminal. You know, it might have been, you know, somebody got shot and our gun accidentally went off.
We had one of those on Sunday call in over the scanner. Guy shot himself. He was home alone. Was cleaning his gun, accidentally shot himself. Did not want to be taken to the hospital, but there was not, the bullet did not go through.
See, when you clean a gun, you're supposed to empty the magazine
first. Well, you would think so.
And empty the chamber.
I've cleaned a gun a few times. I know how to...
You're also supposed to not point it at yourself, I would think.
That, too. Yeah. That's basic. Oh, well. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that, William.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
Glad to be here.
Hey, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. Every Wednesday, you can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com, and then the podcast version drops later in the day. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And for Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, you want to check out Double Coverage with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. They provide game previews, insight, commentary, and all that good stuff every Thursday afternoon. You can find new episodes in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Don't forget, you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows are posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
All right, let's go down to Jackson and speak with Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief for the Journal. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. I want to talk with you about a couple of things going on down there in Jackson. Of course, we've got these working groups that have been meeting periodically. And this week, the legislator spent 2 days at the state capitol, talking about travel expenses, maybe not the most exciting or controversial topic, Bobby, but compared to some of the other ones. But what were they trying to get at there?
Well, you know, they're looking for ways to save money and cut expenses. And you know, during the meetings, it was 2 days of meetings, but Lieutenant Governor Reeves tweeted out they could cut travel by 10%. It would save $6 million that they could put on other priorities and. So that's what they're looking for, ways to save money. Now, the thing, though, is not all that money is state money. A lot of it, as a matter of fact, most of it is, I didn't see a breakdown, but most of it is federal money that is tied to money that the federal government gives the state. And, of course, the federal government gives the state a lot of money. But when the federal government gives the money, they want to see somebody in person, I guess, and give them training and conditions on the money. So a lot of the time, it's harder to cut the money than you would think it is. And then you look at an agency like Department of Health, and they're inspecting restaurants, nursing homes, hospitals, and so they have people traveling all over the state to do that. So traveling is part of, you know, just their job. So I'm sure there's some unnecessary travel, just like there is in any organization, but it may be harder to get at than it may appear on the surface.
Yeah, Department of Health spent $5.6 million on travel last fiscal year 2016. $4.5 million of that was from federal funds. And you mentioned in the story that legislators discovered that much of the travel is paid with federal funds, which is mandatory to receive federal grants. So that makes it sound like they didn't actually know this piece of information.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the Department of Health probably actually gets, the Mississippi Department of Health probably gets more of this money. I'm sure I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it gets more of its money from the federal government than it does the state government, even though it's a state agency. So, you know, you have to keep those things in mind as you look at some of these issues.
Yeah, and Philip Gunn, Speaker of the House, actually praised a bunch of the agencies for being frugal in their travel. So it looks like, I don't know, Bob, it looks like there's not much of an issue there, really.
And he pointed out that he asked him, how do you pass legislation to do this? And he said it might be just a case of looking at these things would be on a case by case basis to try to trim some of the travel expenses. But we'll see what comes of that during the upcoming session.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit, talk about state revenue, and guess what? It still is sluggish through the first 3 months of this fiscal year. Still got that downward trend, Bobby. They collected 2.4% less in general fund revenue than in the first quarter of last fiscal year. So more of the same, I guess.
Yeah, more of the same. If you take into account some stuff that they're doing this 2016 session to move special funds to the general fund, and stuff like that they actually are balancing the budget, have enough money to balance the budget right now. But as far as just tax collections, on taxes on sales tax, income tax, and all those things that are, the fund state government, it's still is lagging, and you may have the number in front of you, but it is about 2% below what was collected during the same quarter last year. So that's a troubling trend that doesn't seem to be going away.
But on a positive note, September collections were up compared to this time last year by some $9 million. So maybe, I guess it's too early to tell if that's just a one-month deal or if maybe we're going to start heading in a better direction.
Yeah, and it may be, it may be a case of probably maybe September, October last year when it started trending downward. So now you're being comparing months where it was down last year to months where it was down last year. So that may be, the key is, you want revenue to rise year over year. And the key is, as far as the budget goes, the revenue rising and falling, is at least one indicator of how the state economy is doing. But as far as on the practical side, what revenue does is fund the budget. And actually, they had a real conservative revenue estimate for this year. So it doesn't have to rise much to meet that revenue estimate and fund the budget because they had a very conservative revenue estimate, and of course, the estimate is what's used to fund the budget each legislative session.
All right, well, good stuff, Bobby. You can read these stories in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. Follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Bobby, thank you, sir.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, be sure to watch Capital View every Monday with Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief of the Daily Journal. Bobby provides insight and commentary into what's going on with the state legislature, even though they're not in session right now, still plenty going on, including these working groups. And so Bobby will join me every Monday at 2 o'clock. You can watch the webcast live at djournal.com or catch the replay later in the day. Time now for News Memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. It has taken 4 years and more than $7 million, but the renovation and expansion of the Elvis Presley Birthplace and Museum is now complete. The third and final phase of the project was centered around the lake and surrounding area. The work added a water fountain, a new paved walkway around the lake, and several benches around the path. It also replaced the old bridge. The first phase of the project added a new 126-seat theater and a 75-seat outdoor amphitheater. It was unveiled in August 2012. The second phase added two Elvis statues, a memorial wall and pavilion, a separate picnic pavilion, a walkway to the overlook, and a new parking lot. All of that was completed last year. Executive Director Dick Guyton said no other plans are in the works. About 80,000 people visit the Birthplace and Museum each year, with about 45% of visitors coming from overseas.
Seniors at New Albany High School spent Tuesday filling out college applications. The school held its first college countdown application day throughout the day. These schools' 125 seniors spent time in the media center filling out those applications and also asking questions about financial aid and other topics. Admission counselors from Northeast Mississippi Community College, the University of Mississippi, Mississippi State University, Delta State University, and Blue Mountain College all attended the event to assist students and answer questions. The event is part of a pilot program being done by the group Get to College. New Albany High School counselor Kaylee Stanton said she hopes the event breaks down some of the students' perceived barriers to attending college. These include things like cost, lack of family support, or simply thinking college isn't for them.
Lee County election officials are deploying new technology in order to speed vote times for the November 8th presidential election. At the request of Circuit Clerk Camille Roberts, paper poll books will be phased out in favor of electronic poll books, which are already on hand in the Circuit Clerk's office. Most poll workers who will use these electronic books have already been trained. The Lee County supervisors formally approved purchasing 60 poll books at a meeting Monday, and they will cost about $95,700. Poll books list every citizen registered to vote within a given precinct. Poll workers use these books to ensure that prospective voters are actually registered to vote, are in the correct precinct, and have not already voted. Electronic poll books achieve the same purpose, but store the information digitally on an electronic tablet and allow for quicker access to a voter's information.
The Boonville High School marching band won the Class 3A state championship on Saturday. It marked the fourth straight title for the school and the ninth overall. The winning performance included songs ranging from Somewhere Over the Rainbow to For the Beauty of Earth. Band director Josh Forsyth said all of the pieces had something to do with light or the rainbow. The 7.5-minute show started coming together in May, and the 108-member band worked on it during the summer at band camp and at workshops. Meanwhile, other Northeast Mississippi schools also placed well at last weekend's state championships. North Pontotoc placed second, and South Pontotoc placed third. And more local bands will compete in state championship competitions for other classifications this coming weekend.
A former New Albany City Court clerk was arrested by state agents on Monday and charged with embezzling more than $200,000. The state auditor's office arrested former New Albany Municipal Court Clerk Jennifer Galloway after she was indicted on one count of embezzlement by a Union County grand jury. In addition to Monday's arrest, Galloway was issued a demand for $334,680.64. That includes interest and recovery costs. State auditor's agents provided evidence to prosecutors that Galloway did not deposit a total of $206,648.80 in cash bonds and court fines received. Galloway was employed as clerk from April 2009 through October 2013. Need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third-generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957, the Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost, and that's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. All right, let's welcome Jenna Parsons into the show to talk about food. Looking around, I don't see any food here.
Food.
We're going to talk about something
that's
not here.
We have a food section.
We do have a food section.
Say food right
just say food right there.
There appear
right.
to be some
and,
pictures
and there
of food.
There are pictures of food and there are recipes.
Are sweet potato casseroles and marshmallows right there.
Sweet potato casserole. The best way to make it is the way my wife makes it. Because growing up, I would either have sweet potato casserole with pecans in it, but no marshmallows on top, or just marshmallows on top and no pecans. My wife makes it with both.
Oh.
And it's my favorite. So anyway, so that was one thing you wrote about of many, the food bazaar. We got another food bazaar, Jenna.
Yes,
lots
yes.
of food. What's
it's
this one
that
about?
Time of year.
It is.
This is St. James Catholic Church, and they have it the first Saturday in November, and they have lots of frozen casseroles. And the one thing that they do a little bit differently than some of the other churches that have these bazaars is they get together in the church kitchen and they cook certain dishes so that they're all uniform and using the same ingredients.
Right.
And so they have, over the years, they've tried different dishes and added new ones. And this year they are just going with their 9 bestsellers, and which include there's enchiladas and a chicken fettuccine. There's dressing and a Watergate salad. Of course, a sweet potato casserole. That's what they were making the day that we visited with them. And they do a Christmas cookie medley and some chili. Oh, and tamales. That's the one that goes first.
So this is a rummage sale and bazaar, except
it
for
is,
November 5th.
It is a rummage sale. I don't really focus on that.
Right.
But it's November the 5th, which is not this Saturday, but next.
The next, okay. And it's going to be 7 a.m. to noon at the Catholic Life Center there at St. James on Gloucester.
Yes.
You had a column today, of course, talking about pork chops and apples. And I always kind of forget, Jenna, that how well apples go with certain meats. Like, I'm not a big fan of Applebee's, but there's one dish they have that I really like, and it's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's got some kind of grilled chicken with little chopped up, like diced apple bits, and it's really, honestly, very good.
I had never made pork chops with apples before, although
I don't think I've had it.
I love the Brady Bunch episode. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Where pork chops and applesauce.
Where Peter's acting like Humphrey Bogart. Well, my mother-in-law has a dish in, I have the recipe for it, where she does pork chops with apples. And I don't know if she's ever cooked that for me or not. I know I have a recipe. But Charlie and I were at the beach, and we were looking through cooking magazines, and I came across this recipe, and of course it had pork chops and apples, but it also had red onion, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting because usually I think of white onions, and it had Dijon mustard, which is you know lovely with mm-hmm. pork, and fresh herbs. And so I made it after we got back from the beach, and it was just, it just screams fall. It was a pretty dish. You've got pork, you've got apples, you've got herbs. It was earthy and rustic. Mm-hmm. It was very nice. And we had leftovers, and it was very good the next day. The apples weren't mushy. Mm. It was good. It's a keeper.
Jenna goes on vacation and reads cookbooks and then cooks meals. She basically doesn't stop working, basically.
You know,
when you love your job, exactly. Like Jenna Parsons does.
Well, yes, but I wondered, you know, if I could turn in the mileage. You think the boss would let me turn in the mileage to Florida?
Oh, and the hotel bill, too.
To Florida. Oh, and the hotel bill,
certainly. At least the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll float that past him when we get out of here and see how that goes over.
Drop our names when you go by. See if that does any good.
Derek and Brad thought it would be a magnanimous gesture.
You know what? Maybe just say Brad. Maybe just leave Derek out of that.
All right. Let's talk about your cook of the week. This is a very interesting woman, Jennifer Johnson of Pontotoc, did not like to cook. Even after she got married, she didn't really enjoy cooking, and somebody basically was like, spaghetti again, and she got mad.
They taunted her.
She got mad and got in the kitchen, and now she knows how to cook.
She did. She did, That's and funny. She does.
Yeah. So she makes more than just spaghetti now, doesn't she?
Yes, and she, during the week, she doesn't cook every night. She said they may have sandwiches or, you know, she's not above hamburger helper, which I happen to love myself, but it's the...
What's good? Well, you got a hamburger and you got a helper. How can you go wrong?
It's the Sunday meals where she invites the family, and she has, I think it was, forgotten what she said, maybe 13 or 14 at the table, and she just puts out a spread that recently she had cube steaks and gravy and mashed potatoes, English peas, squash casserole, green beans, grape salad, a ding-dong cake.
A ding-dong cake? I can only imagine.
Now, I've had a ding-dong cake recipe about maybe three times.
That Crossroads Rib Shack.
Do they do a ding-dong cake?
It is stellar.
Well, it's you either use a Swiss chocolate or a devil's food mm-hmm. cake mix, mm-hmm. and you make it in three layers. And then you mix up cream cheese and powdered sugar, and you spread that between the layers, that's that white fluffy part of the ding dong.
Oh, you just gained 5 pounds listening to this.
Then you frost it with chocolate icing. Yeah, it's like a little Debbie.
I looked at one day and they had to amputate my foot.
Yeah, but and speaking of desserts, I like the fact that in your story she says that she's got two binders of recipes. The ones with the binder with dessert recipes is like three times the size of the other one.
Three times the size of the other binder, which has everything, entrees and side dishes and salads and breads.
This is a woman with priorities in order.
Yes, yes, like yes. Her. She loves her sweets.
Good
and
deal.
She made an Italian cream cake for us when we were there and to take a picture of, and it was...
Yeah, it looks good.
It was beautiful.
I bet it tastes good. Did you taste it?
I did not. I was trying to be good.
You have more willpower than I do, Jenna. Could have brought us some, I'm just saying.
I could have.
Yeah, of course, it was probably last week, so it'd be kind of old by now.
It would, but I did interview two cooks of the week yesterday who both offered me sweets, and I declined. I should schedule all the cook of the week interviews on Tuesday and bring y'all the booty on Wednesday.
Yes. Bring us the goods.
I'm making a note in my calendar as we speak. Y'all see me writing.
I feel like we've done good work today. Like, I feel like that's really the best we've done, is to convince her to do that.
That right there makes everything worth it.
Yeah. All Mission right. accomplished.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff from the food section. You can find it in your Wednesday Journal and also at djournal.com. Jenna, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Derek, we've made it through this most of this show without Chris Kiefer. I think we did just fine.
I think it's good. Timestamp 10:33 a.m. So, you know.
Yeah, Chris. That means I got a little breathing room before my next podcast I got to do.
All right, then.
So it's good.
That's good. Hey, tell them where they can find us.
They can find us at 1242 South Green Street. Oh, you meant online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can find us online, of course, at memo.djournal.com. You can stream the podcast there. Of course, you can listen to it for free in iTunes or any of those podcast apps if you don't have an iPhone, satchelplayer.fm and such. And you can send us an email. In fact, we want you to send us an email with your Halloween stories because, as we mentioned earlier, we're having a special, very special episode of the Memo on Monday.
That's right. Memo@journalinc.com.
That's the address.
Ink is I-N-C. You would think with a newspaper it's I-N-K.
If we were clever enough, it would be.
But it's not. It's
no, this is in Journal Incorporated. That's the name of the company that pays us. Yeah, we want to hear your ghost stories. And if it's really good and scary or funny or whatever, we might even read it on the air. So memo@journalinc.com.
That's the one.
Send us your ghost stories between now and Monday morning. Okay. And we'll tell stories as well. I don't really have any great ghost stories, although my house is apparently haunted, and I do have an update on that I'll save for Monday.
Oh.
My wife had a weird, hard-to-explain experience this past weekend. I was not there for it, but my wife doesn't make this stuff up. So listen, I'll have that at least. I don't really have any good ghost stories otherwise, but I'm sure you do, Derek.
I have a few.
The lyric is haunted, right?
The lyric is haunted. I mean, I could share a few of those, but I have some funnier ones that are more fun to share. So.
Okay. And, you know, we probably have some reporters in here. Like, I think Emma Kent said she wanted to tell one or two stories. So have some journal people telling ghost stories. It'll
good
be fun.
Stuff.
Monday's Halloween. Halloween's one of my favorite holidays. Always just a good, clean fun. I'm supposed to dress up as Frankenstein's monster.
Can't wait to see that.
That is Misha Rogers' fault, 100%, because she talked me into it.
Mr. Rogers?
Misha Rogers.
Oh.
Not Mr. Rogers.
Like, I was like, of the neighborhood? The same.
Yeah, his ghost speaks to me. No.
Dude, that would be awesome.
That would be.
I'd love Mr. Rogers to come talk to me. Like, hey, you know how crayons are
life
made? Tell me.
Life affirmations from a ghost.
Oh my gosh, that would be fantastic. Great. I'd sit there while I changed sweaters and threw the shoes from one end to the other.
I think I've got a story idea. A little short Halloween story.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to write a short Halloween story just for kicks.
That would be funny. After Mr. Rogers died, somebody moved into that house and he's still like feeding the fish tank over there. Everybody,
The little trolley mysteriously comes out of the wall.
Yeah, ghost trolley. Like, why is there a train track? Where does it go?
To the other side.
Dude, that would be great. That's like a Funny or Die sketch right there.
Oh, yeah. Somebody needs to get on that.
Yeah, that's an SNL. That's got SNL written all over it.
It does.
But the house has been empty for 20 years. Are all these sweaters in the closet? Good stuff. All right. Well, we'll be back. We got one more episode tomorrow. And before we get to that Monday fun for Halloween. So until then, we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye.